Hello and welcome to the Eclipse pregame.
Pre-eclipse pregame. Wait a second. I think it's just Eclipse pregame.
Eclipse pregame. It's funny that it's happening during March Madness. Is anybody paying attention to the college basketball tournaments?
Wait, it's April though.
Well, the tournament began in March. That's why it's called March. It doesn't always end in March, but it always begins in March.
Clearly, I'm not paying attention. It's funny because here in Sedona, now for the last 2 years, we've had these really lovely monks visiting from a monastery in India. And I call it March monkness. I don't think monk madness really works, but they do a lot of events throughout Sedona, and now they're in Phoenix and they're doing, like, they do house blessings and they do these empowerments here. So that's actually how I see March now is I just see monks.
Well, the basketball tournament does happen this time of year. Baseball season begins. So if you're a sports fan, there's lots of activity, certainly. But in this year, it happens to be eclipse season that rolled in with the equinox. Eclipse seasons move throughout the year. They're always twice a year, sometime in the first half of the year and one time in the second half of the year. But because they move and travel with the nodes, as the nodes move through the signs, they move backwards. That's why they move backwards. So last year, the spring eclipses were later in April. This year, they're late March, early April. Next year will be earlier March. Moving on, it'll be February, back to January. So that's how these things roll. I don't know if anybody pays attention to that, but I think it's important.
I've only really in the last year started really tuning into the eclipse season, those 2 weeks, like legitimately paying attention. I do remember, I actually remember as far back as like, I think 2015, because this was when I was really paying attention to Michael Lennox. I read his stuff every day, but like he was doing like recordings for like an eclipse season. And I remember actually just like transcribing everything he was saying just into a notebook because, life was very overwhelming for me in 2015. So I don't know. I feel like I've kind of gone in and out. Like if I was really busy working, I wouldn't really pay attention. If I'm really busy traveling, I don't really pay attention because I have this joke that when you're traveling, astrology doesn't really count because... Well, because you're in motion, you're moving, and there's so much to see. And I think it's like, I bear it in mind. I've traveled a lot during like Mercury retrograde. So like, I might be a little more, hyper aware of alarms and timetables, that sort of thing. But I find that when I'm traveling, I don't read the daily astrology necessarily. I don't really keep to that so much because I don't know. I don't know if it's a sort of feeling like you're not above it, but like you are, I am kind of flying above it. I feel like I'm sort of flying above the mundane, and it's hard to see how astrology is like impacting or playing into my life when something's new. It's like, it's not a controlled experiment. You know what I mean? There's no like, oh wait, Mondays always feel like this, but today Monday feels very different because, Mars is doing this thing. But if I'm in Glasgow walking down a street I've never walked down, I'm like, well, this is what Monday traveling in Glasgow feels like. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting too. I've been reading a lot also because Mercury is in retrograde right now. And it's one of those things where it's like, do you want to let this energetic, frequency freak you out? Is it part of, now it's part of sort of the zeitgeist, like out there in popular culture where people are starting to pay attention but they're getting nervous. And it's like, well, bad things happen when you stay in a nervous frequency. you can use it and understand it and move through it and move with it, which is, I think, what you and I talk a lot about, or you can use the negative part of it to sort of take derail you or not pay attention, because there's plenty of people out there that have no idea even what we're talking about, and they're oblivious and they live their lives. And it's fine, right? But also, I think a lot of people that don't, I don't want to make a generalization around this, but there are lots of people that are looking to blame something outside of them. And in my experience, it's like when we start to understand that we manage our own energy and that we can navigate through it and we can direct it and move with it, then, you know, there's no blame. Like, it's just that that piece goes away.
You know, it's funny too, because like, yeah, I mean, you know, we are as a collective being confronted with the victim mentality, with the victim programming that, you know, it's, you are what you eat, you know, but like, I think too, that with, well, a few things. So like with the Mercury retrograde in astrology and what you're paying attention to, I tell people this, I'm like, listen, plenty of people are doing fine without astrology, without Kundalini yoga. So you don't have to get into it. Like, and yet here we are, but if well, because I am engaged in it and so are you. And this is part of our dharmic blueprint, if you will, for better or for worse. So I can't ignore it, because it's this annoying little itch that's going at me here. And it's funny too, because I started this Gene Keys retreat, which is called the Pearl Sequence. And the Pearl is, it's like, it's the prosperity sequence, whatever, in the Gene Keys. If you're familiar, if you even start to read about it, you'll see what I'm talking about. But the cool thing about that imagery of the pearl is there is an irritant inside of the oyster. It is an irritant that creates the pearl. So that's what I'm clinging on to right now is a series of irritants, and just holding the faith that a really beautiful, shiny pearl will come out of it. And in the meantime, you know, just back to the whole idea of Mercury retrograde also, and the importance, I think, of the Shunya point, because, you know, we've been talking about this. You just can't solve a problem in the frequency of the problem. And you and I have been talking about a lot of different programs and modalities of just general, like just general self-improvement. I'll just leave it at that. And the thing that I forewarn about too is don't get so obsessed with the fact that there is a problem. I think improvement in any area of your life, of course, that's what we're doing. That's evolution. That's growing. That's getting rid of shit that didn't work for you. And you're on a new frequency. You know, if you're on a new frequency, the old phone might not work in that frequency. There are upgrades that are important to do. In the meantime, I have to kind of stop myself, especially in this eclipse season, where it's like, hang on, is this even a problem? Am I just deciding I have a problem? Like, is this a problem? Or is this just a little irritant that is helping me shine myself up a little bit more? And just back to a practical reminder about getting, you know, you can't jump from problem to solution. Sometimes you can. Sometimes if you, you know, an idea will occur to you and it'll settle and there you go. But I'm really also resting in the practice of getting to the Shunya point, of just getting to the neutral space. It's like, okay, you know, maybe I can't skip the step. Maybe I can't go from problem to solution right away. Maybe I need to just neutralize problem frequency first. So how do I do that? I do that with breath. I do that. I listen to Shunya, the mantra. I breathe. I pause. I do these, you know, I do what I can. I just hold the little pose. And then I'm not, you know, I cheated. I didn't cheat, but I did the 32 minute or the 31 minute Jupiter business yesterday. I couldn't. I'm at eclipse fatigue moment right now, where I'm just like, you know, doing Bikram the same day of trying to do the 62 minute Jupiter business, I don't recommend. I was tapped. I did the 31 minute. You can do 31 minutes out of kindness, as the instructions say, But, you know, 10 minutes in, I got the solution to a problem. Like, it took 10 minutes of holding my stupid mudra and having that annoying, I'm not complaining, that 70s, 80s version of Hada Go Binde with like the shredding guitar. And yeah. Then I was like, oh, wait, that's the password. Literally, yeah. That I needed a password to get into something. And I'm like, I remember that. Oh my God, I figured it out. All right. That was my blurt.
There was a lot there. I should have been taking notes because there was a lot of stuff I wanted to talk further about. But I want to talk about this sort of problem and idea that there is something wrong. And to your point of getting, I guess my feeling on this, a lot of it is seeing the thing with objectivity to me is very important. Because I feel like once I see it and there's clear awareness, and there's also where, again, I go back to taking personal responsibility of, I created this scenario, situation, problem, what, you know, circumstance, experience, energetic, you know, a relational, you know, interlock, for example. And to really get into and expose the thing for what it is and the role that I've played in it to maintain it or keep it, you know, intense, you know, right, to maintain the energy around it. I find that the knowledge and the exposition of it in many ways is the thing that pops the balloon. And you, again, this has been my experience in this time, this particular eclipse season. There's a lot of energy that's kind of come through me, and which is, by the way, showing up in taking naps at random times of the day, you know, sleeping in the afternoon so that I can't fall asleep at night, or, you know, very like a lot of extra sleep. And again, I've been talking with a lot of people, so I'm not the only one experiencing this, where there's a lot of fatigue in some ways that's kind of coming out, but also that restful state where we need to integrate, right? So it's like the energy's coming up, the information's coming up, I'm starting to see things clearly. You get 10 minutes into the meditation that you've been putting off all day and you get the solution, right? So you're actually needing, you know, to put yourself in a physical situation, right? And in our practice, there's a, you know, a hand gesture, the mudra, there's chanting, there's mantra, like your whole body's engaged in this, right? Some people can find a still point literally just sitting still and breathing or whatever. Sometimes it takes more action, but I guess that's the key to me is coming to awareness of the reality and really knowing how much of it I have been like taking full responsibility for, like to come to that point and saying, nobody else has done this except me. And how you do one thing is how you do everything. So let's now evaluate, how is this showing up in other parts of my life, in health, career, family, my home life, or, you know, my house? Like, is it in relation to how I manage my home, right? My household, the kids, you know, friendships, relationships, career, work situations, all of those things, because whatever the thing is, it's showing up in multiple ways. And so we're rising now to the occasion to meet it. And it's hard and it's painful and it's weird. And sometimes we have to take a nap and sometimes we have to cry. And that's legit too. And sometimes we have to dance and we have to laugh and we have to move the energy, you know, taking walks in the afternoon or like doing some kind of physical exercise. We have a friend who's boxing a lot lately. Mm-hmm. It's like real hardcore, aggressive physical activity. Sometimes that, and you know, I would say Bikram is along those lines. I don't think I could handle doing a Bikram class. I mean, it's hot, real hot. Like you're holding positions, you're doing the same sequence every time. Like that takes commitment and stamina.
Yeah, I you know, I said to Ian, I was like, look, I'm not down with like the meme diagnosis, but I think I may have had a level of seasonal depression this the last couple of months. Just look, I'm not, I mean, you know, we've been in Sedona for 2 years now and it's cold in winter. It's not Boston cold, which is where I'm from, but it's certainly not LA cold where I was for, you know, 20 years. And so the Bikram, the sauna, like really have been huge retreats and oases for me to like just get my body temp to the tropical weather that it would like to be in. But yeah, I had a good cry last night and I don't cry. I'm not a crier really. And it's interesting because I feel like the last one was eclipse season. And I was saying to you before, I'm like, you know what? It's just this accumulation. Like, and is it the Mercury retrograde of reviewing? I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people and some old narratives have been coming up and it's literally like I see myself as that ghost in Ghostbusters, like hanging out in the library, just like paging through a book. And I'm like, what are these fucking stories that I'm pulling off the shelf right now? Like, it's really, is this helpful? Do I have to review this? Do I have to read Treasure Island again? No, I don't. Like, you know, it's been a real, visceral feel the last few days. It's like these shadows and sylphs just kind of passing through, and I'm kind of observing them, and I'm talking about thought forms. You know, I'm talking about that, just these patterns, and you know, I'm like, they're not dementors. They're not like here to attack, but they are accumulating and they are, if you will, blocking out the sun and the warmth that I'm looking to have. Like there is a sort of pre-eclipse happening right now. And it's my own, you know, it's my own shadow boxing. I mean, our friend's like legit boxing. I'm just like, yeah. I'm like the dog swatting at this little red laser thing that we play, that he plays with, because he's very feline. But I'm like, I'm doing the same thing. I'm chasing these weird little shadows and these little ghosties. And I'm like, wait, are you the thing? Are you the thing that I should hold on to? Are you? And it's like, no, none of this is to hold on to. And, you know, I tried to go into the meditation yesterday and halfway through, I'm like, nope, we're shutting this down. Like, what do I need? I need to go lie down and just have a good cry. And that's my fucking yoga now. That's
yeah. Yeah. I think for both of us, I think it's showing up for me slightly different, but very existential. Mm-hmm. And it's, and again, when you're watching energy move, it really is moving and it ebbs and it flows. And it's like, this is the wave of it all. And these are the frequencies and they're moving up and down and they're getting louder and they're getting softer. And sometimes it's like, oh, haven't heard from you in a while. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like that thing that kind of comes up, whatever, that shadow, it gets revealed again. And every time, hopefully, if you've got the awareness and the intention to just embrace it a little more or hear it a little more, because it's there to tell you something, just as all of the people in our lives are here to show us, tell us, teach us, and be a mirror, right? Where, and in this way, I think you and I are a mirror for each other, and like to allow and say, it's okay to go through this. It's okay. You need the cry, you need the yoga, you need the boxing, you need the, you know, the Bikram. You need to retreat into self-development and really like try different modalities or whatever the thing is. And all of it is for the greater good. And we don't have to hold on to it as some kind of permanent solution. And this is like, too, when you're looking at the cycles in the astrology and certain these eclipses cycle every 18 and a half, 19 years, and they are literally moving through time and space. And I was doing some research on it, because I have to keep reminding myself, because it'll happen and then I'll just put it out of my mind. But the eclipses travel along what's called the Saros cycle. And the Saros cycle, again, it pops up. They pop up every 18, 19 years. And the entire cycle of a Saros cycle is 1,200 to 1,400 years. That is a long time. And there are about 70 to 80 of them going on at any given time. So just imagine, like, the eclipse that's traveling through on Monday is one of the 70 cycles that's happening, because the one that we had 2 weeks ago was on a different cycle and on a different timeline. And the ones that are coming in the fall are also on different cycles and timelines. So we're constantly moving through these energy fields. And are we riding it? Are we getting stuck? Are we breaking through? Are we moving forward? That's up to us. And that's why I really believe in this sort of taking responsibility. And also, on the flip side of that is a lot of compassion and a lot of self-forgiveness, because we are who we are and we're here to go through what we need to go through. And if we don't love ourselves for that, it's going to be real hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be real hard.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like, am I making this harder than it needs to be? Am I making a problem out of something that, you know, is it even a problem? Is this a blip that comes up? You know, it's like back to, I know I talked about this before, but like the dog has this thing on his paw and I'm like, you know, freaking out over it. And it's like, here I've got Ian, my wonderful Taurus anchor, who's like, it's fine. We'll just monitor. It's just a little, you know, we'll just watch it. And sure enough, it goes. And the thing I was just saying to myself over and over again last night, because I don't like succumbing into the cry moment. It's not fun for me. It's like, you know, it's like throwing up. Like, nobody really likes doing it. You feel better after, but it's like, it's just, but I kept saying, I'm like, this is a mood. This will pass. Mm-hmm. This is a cycle. This will pass. It's cool. Let it pass. Let the stone pass. The angel rolls the stone.
I love a good cry. I love a good cry. Like, I totally indulge. I'm like, let's just go. I used to, when I was a kid, I used to cry for hours, 3-4 hours. I loved it.
Did I tell you about the time I went to see The Notebook in the theater? It was Labor Day weekend. It was the hottest day of LA ever. And my roommate and I were like, we gotta go to a movie or something. And like the only tickets available were The Notebook, because it was playing in like 3 theaters at the Grove. And we go, and we're just cynical and who cares, right? And by the end, we are fucking sobbing. I mean, it's just ugly crying. And later I was talking to another friend and I was like, so I saw The Notebook. And she's like, oh my God, did you ugly cry? And I'm like, yeah, what was that about? And she was like, you know, it's some of her friend had said to her, like, you know, why are we crying so hard? And they were like, because no one will ever love us like that.
I have a list. I tell you about my list of movies that I can't watch because I cry so much.
Yes, wait, but there was one that made no sense to me. So go through the list.
Well, I'm not sure if I can remember all, but okay. Terms of Endearment. Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Fine. Yeah.
Out of Africa.
Yes.
Can't handle it.
Okay.
The Notebook. But the thing is with The Notebook now, I know when to turn it off. Like, I'll get to the just stop watching at a certain point. There's a few of those movies also that I'll just stop watching. What was The Champ? Do you remember this movie?
My God.
I know. I know.
Was there a monkey in The Champ?
I don't know. It was Ricky Schroeder was the kid. And what's the guy's name that I'm now blanking on his name? Angelina Jolie's father.
John Voight.
Cannot. I mean, it's never on anymore, but like, anyway, if you want a good cry, you want to watch that. Anything with like Steel Magnolias?
Yeah.
Don't watch it that often, but like, no, can't watch. It's like mother-daughter stuff or father-son stuff. That just like puts me over the edge. Can't do it.
Maybe it was Out of Africa but I haven't seen Out of Africa in a long time.
She had a farm in Africa. She had a farm.
I had a farm in Africa. Well, The one
Kramer versus Kramer, basically most Meryl Streep movies, you know.
I guess for me it's more music that gets me there. It's like music that gets me into, because I would use music to like audition for stuff, like if I had to get emotional. I think I talked about this on Seats. I don't think I talked about this here, but I will say, so The English Patient,
can't watch that movie anymore.
This is where Joanna and I reveal our like ridiculously erudite like movie stylings, where it's like, you know, these Merchant Ivory, highly literal. But like The English Patient, I have to kind of save it. It's like every 3 years. This is something an acting teacher said that was very interesting to me. Rick Lombardo, back in the day, when he was talking about like method acting and getting yourself to like an emotional place of like bringing up your emotion, he said, the thing is, if you use a memory, if you go back to a memory and you continue, it's like you go back to the well and you go back to the well. He's like, eventually you're going to heal that memory and it's not going to have the juice anymore, you know? And I was like, wow, it's like this weird, like you got to save it. You can't always go there. And I was thinking about it too, and how like that just means you have to live more of your life. Like you have to have your heart broken a bunch more times. If you're going to use that method, really, like you gotta make some more memories to go back and torture yourself over. But, The English Patient always gets me. When he's like, I don't miss you yet. And she's like, you will. But in that, like, Kristen Scott Thomas just has that cool, aloof, but simmering English woman vibe. Like, just that seen it all. Like, I don't know what's the word. She's just... rueful. It's that rueful look of an English person that has seen one too many farm animals go down to know that life will continue to beat you down like that. But the music is what always gets me more, I think, because it's not visual, obviously. It's not already being played out. It's hitting a tonality in me. Mm-hmm. And I put together this music list of stuff to listen to when I had to get myself really worked up. And I'm not, I shit you not.
Like, anxious or sad. Angry or sad. Sad.
So like I had the music from Up. I mean, Up, did you, Up? The first 10 minutes of Up is just like, one punch in the face after another, and then you're like, oh my god, I have to sit through this cartoon for the next 2 hours, like, yeah, Jesus. Yeah. And then so the music from that, but then the last 2 minutes of the Lost finale. did you watch Lost?
Yes I did.
Oh my god. Yes. Oh my god, the last 2 minutes, and you're like, you're already a mess, and then they bring the fucking dog in, and I'm like, oh my god. So I have this playing on my, I think I had a BlackBerry at the time, and like I pulled up the YouTube, and I had to go in for this audition for some procedural drama where like the cops come to the very beginning of the show, the teaser, or there's some like other drama. No, it's like the first five minutes of the cold open. Yes. Thank you. Cold open. The cops come to her door and tell her that her husband's been found murdered or whatever. And I don't know. I just decided that I had to like deliver in this audition. So I'm sitting out in my little Toyota Corolla listening to like this music that is going to seriously like fucking set me off. And I go in and I do the audition, and it's cranking. I'm sobbing. It's like the tears, the snot, it's all very real. And I finish, and the casting directors are just like staring at me. Like, one of them just like is like, that was beautiful. And I just see it in their faces. They're like, Jesus, is she okay? And I do the whole actor thing of like, thank you. Thanks. And like, I leave the room, and then I mean, what the fuck? Like, what do we put our, like, what kind of conjuring do we do as these artists for, I don't even remember what the TV show was. I think it was like Leverage or something.
I actually think that this is such a great example of like, you can put yourself in any kind of emotional state at all, right? Whether it's, you know, using music to trigger the frequency that you're looking for, in this case, that sort of sadness and just shock, or, you know, a movie or whatever the thing is, you know, you can, and that's the beauty of art, right? Maybe it's a painting that takes you places, or I remember our friend Kim Kranz was a guest teacher for our Aquarian Women's Leadership Society. And she was talking about creativity and art. And I didn't know what to expect. And she brought up a clip of Nina Simone singing on YouTube. And it was like, she's like, I've spent hours watching this and exploring this. And I've listened to a lot of Nina Simone. I've watched various documentaries. There's a beautiful documentary on her. I think it's on Netflix, maybe, possibly Amazon. It was called Whatever Happened to Nina Simone. It's absolutely beautiful. Anyway, this song particularly, I didn't know, but that captivated her. And there were other songs, anyway, if you want to go to a sad place, come to Nina Simone. Highly recommend. Anyway, I got a question too of like, how do we deal with eclipses? And this is one way to do it. Like, put yourself in an emotional state. You need to move some energy. Like, that's part of it. It's like, I'm having an existential crisis. Like, how do I move through it and move beyond it to get to the other side? Because, by the way, as you said, it's all fake. It's all like, it's just a construction of my mind. So if it's going to take another energetic frequency to knock it out, like a bowling pins, you know, do it. If it's candle pin bowling versus whatever, like traditional bowling, I don't know, what do you call the normal bowling? It's a different size ball, different types of pins.
Yeah.
We have the choice. We have the choice to find these frequencies to move through it. So be honest, though. That's the thing. You got to really be honest with yourself to know. Otherwise, it's just bravado or false intention, and you're just going to keep repeating the cycle, whatever that is.
I mean, isn't that what art is for? I mean, what an opportunity, and like, what a gift we all have. And I think, you know, it's very, there's so much. Like, don't mistake content for art, and don't get too worked up about what is art. I mean, art can be watching a cartoon. It's like, whatever. But, you know, when our dog Knox passed away, I couldn't talk for 2 weeks. I mean, it was like, and it was, you know, whatever. It's just like this, it's this really strange, beautiful, ecstatic human experience. We came here, you know, we came here to suffer, but what suffering is relative too. It's like when something like that happens, it is an opportunity actually for you to really fully embody and activate every cellular bit of being human, and just reminding yourself that you're safe. And that's kind of the beauty of art too, is like, they're doing it for you. They're going through the sadness for you. That was when I pulled out the English Patient at that time, because I literally was like, I didn't know what to do with it. What do you, you know, that kind of energy, like that kind of, this kind of emotion, I need to pour it into something. I need to put it on something. I need to project it onto something. And rather than take it out on people around me, in an un, I mean, I, there were people that were like reaching out to me and I was like, just have, I could only text. I'm like, I cannot talk. I can't, yeah. my throat right now is, can't talk. And it's not personal. But I even got the book, The English Patient, out and I was just reading passages out loud. I could talk then. But like, I mean, I sometimes think too, we forget because there's so much content, because there's so much sort of available to us that it's like, it gets easy for it to get overwhelming and forgetting that this can be medicinal. This can be intentional. You can use art intentionally. And that's, you know, that's why there's so many books on the bookshelf. And there are lists of movies that we can turn to where it's like, hang on, maybe I can channel some of this into something and not have to work so hard because I've seen Steel Magnolias so many times. I can just, yeah. you know what I mean though? Like it's a familiar place for us.
Mm-hmm. I think absolutely. And I think the acting class is actually like the perfect way to do it, right? It's like you have these sets of memories and you can just tap in and out of them. But part of it as well is exploring more beyond that. Really, I mean, I encourage everybody to do the artist date, right? From the artist way, Julie Cameron's the artist way. Like, take yourself to an art museum or a gallery. Take yourself to, you know, a music concert, live music, whatever it is. And, you know, there's so much available in community. You and I were talking about community theater, and it's like, why not? Just take yourself to something like that. If you don't have it, like, you know, if your kid's in school and you've got to go to the Christmas play or whatever, you know, use that. It's music, art, you know, drama, theater, even a sports game. By the way, I have cried many times watching sports. I cannot explain it. I do not know. I think it's like an underdog. There's an underdog frequency that I'll tap into. The Olympics, I'm on the floor. Like, I'm crying during every Olympic Games period. Cycling, like velodrome, I'm so into that. Like racing stuff, all of it. The human experience, it's like getting over some odd, you know, that you're like working for some kind of achievement. I mean, this is the hero's journey and we're on it all the time.
We like the hero is, I mean, yeah. And I was just thinking about that. Ilion, is that his name? Ilya, the ice skater who like pulled six. He did six quads, I think.
Oh, in his. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Look, American Anthem. Have you seen American Anthem? That's like an 80s movie. Janet Jones, Mitch Gaylord. Mitch Gaylord. They're these gymnasts. And I forget her name. Not Janet Jones, but her friend Tracy or something. I forget her name. And she injured herself and, you know, she's trying to pull off the routine and like she gets up there and that Tracy Smith and everyone's like, it's just that moment of reckoning. I mean, come on.
There's another one I remembered. Ice Castles. Do you remember that movie?
Dude, I looked her up. Oh my God. This is such a crazy little. Okay. So what's her name? Holly Lynn Johnson was an ice skater and she played the lead in Ice Castles. Also played the lead in a movie called The Watcher in the Woods, which is I'm going to hit my hand on the table. Fucking scary movie. Fucking scary. Like this is summertime sleepover movie that has you shrieking. And here's what's so cool about this movie, everybody. It takes place in England. Bette Davis is in it as this like weird witchy neighbor. And it's about an eclipse. And it's about these three kids, like 20 or 30 years prior, that did some ritual in a house during an eclipse and like sacrificed their friend. And like after the eclipse, there was like this lightning bolt and the girl's missing. She's gone. No one, however, 20 years later, Holly Lynn Johnson, who looks an awful lot like this chick, moves in and everyone thinks it's her and she sees her in like the mirror and it's really scary. Okay. It's really fucking scary. And then they find the kids that are now grownups that did this weird little magic ritual. They come back together to bring her back during the eclipse. And I was thinking about it the other day because I was like, you know, eclipses are no fucking joke. Right? I saw the Watcher in the woods and it scared the shit out of me. So you gotta be careful on an eclipse. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So, one, if you need a movie to make you cry, find Ice Castles. Two, if you need a movie to scare you, Watcher in the Woods.
Yeah. If there you want,
if different emotional state, both available at any time.
Well, and a lot of people are it's so funny how everyone's like half the content out there is talking about like this eclipse and Devil's Comet and, you know, end of the world. And the other half is like, you know, there's a lot of fear mongering going around about this eclipse. And, you know, and I'm just lying in bed crying, pulling out the English page.
I think I would go neutral here. Take what you will. You want to freak out, freak out. If you don't care, don't care. If you want to go see it, go see it. If you want to stay inside, stay inside. You and I are going to meditate. We're making a plan to meditate during the period of the maximum eclipse, the most potent moment. But we're not in the path of the eclipse and we're not going to see the sky turn dark or anything. I think it's pretty cool. It's just a natural phenomena and it's here for us to witness, right? This is part of our experience on Earth is that twice a year, this happens 2 to 6 times. There was one year, apparently there were 7 eclipses one year. I can't remember. I think it was 2000. I'm not sure. I look back to see when the most eclipses was. That's the most you can get basically in a year. But most years, 4 eclipses, 2, you know, and they're 6 months apart. So use it, enjoy it, move in your whatever point your fucking finger and just move forward.
It's an event. It'll pass. You know? There's that really, I mean, you want to laugh? Do you watch Fleabag?
I was thinking the same. By the way, when we were talking about what things make us cry, I'm almost positive I cried during Fleabag.
Oh,
very emotional.
I'm certain you did. Like the gut punch when she's like, I love you or I'm in love with you. And he just looks at her and he goes, it'll pass. Yeah. I mean, that's, it'll pass. Which is like, wait, but I don't want it to pass. I want you to love me back. Yeah. But, you know, things don't always go the way we want them to either. And that grief has to pass too. And, you know, on a level of acceptance, that's, you know, back to me, like pulling books off the shelf and being like, no, 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 this is how the story ends. It's right here in black and white.
Yeah. And I think that tendency too can be to stay there, right? So the hot priest is like, it'll pass. And she's like, no, 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 I want to stay here forever. And that's the choice, right? Well, yeah, you can absolutely stay there forever, be heartbroken forever, hold on to the thing that never happened, you know, move forward in every relationship, feeling like comparing it to the last one, the one that was meant to be the soulmate, the twin flame, the whatever. Because it's really easy to sort of idealize a situation that never comes into fruition and to hold on to that versus acknowledging it, holding it, grieving it, and letting it go. I don't know. No. I don't have an answer for this because it's easy to say. And then in reality, you're like, wait, am I holding on to that? Like, what about that old job that I had? You know, I'll every now and again, I'll talk about, there were a few jobs that I had early in my career that I loved so much. And I got so much energy from it. And I love the people that I was working with. And there is a nostalgia for that, right? And, but also understanding, like, it'll never come again. And we've talked a lot about this and recently with our friend and teacher, Guru Jagat, who passed in 2021. And, you know, 3.5 years ago, or sorry, 2.5 years ago, it'll be 3 years this August, which is coming up pretty fast.
It will be 1,000 days on April 27th. Someone said to me recently, which was very, it was very strange and presencing to have a number, to see the number, you know what I mean? But yeah. Anyway, sorry, go on.
But that's part of it, right? It's the counting of the days. It's the counting of the weeks. It's the counting of the months and years. And is that helpful? And it might very well be helpful, right? Because we're continuing on and moving on, and the energy's again cycling through in whatever ways that it's cycling through. So that's helpful in a certain way, but then it's also detrimental in another way to hold on to the past and what it looked like and what happened and what we went through. And oh, wasn't that a glorious time? Or oh, wasn't that a hideous time? Or, you know, like, and memories shift and change. I think there was something that you and I were talking, now I can't remember what it was. And you were like, did someone say this? And I was like, absolutely. It happened exactly like that. And then 30 seconds later, I thought, wait a second. Did it really happen that way?
Yeah.
No, because the memories shifted and it's gotten cloudy. And so that's part of when you're really tuned so far into the past and, you know, older frequencies, older experiences, they take on a life of their own. And that's why these eclipses are very interesting to me, particularly this round, because it's all about ourself, Aries, who we are, what we want, how we identify, and other, how we identify with others through others as a reflection of ourselves, Libra. And so all of this is coming up right now, and it's being questioned at a very interesting level if we're paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning to go back to LA in May for a visit, and it's only my second visit since we moved here 2 years ago. And I really do have to catch myself a lot because I'm so nostalgic for, you know, the good times that were had. And not just, but it wasn't just, you know, the yoga community. I mean, nostalgic for like working on The Good Place and having a job to go, like, just, you know, pre-pandemic, that sort of nostalgia. And when I get excited to think about seeing everybody, and I am excited to see everybody, like, legit, and I have to check myself and be like, hey, you're not going back to a lot of the things that you're cherishing. Just remember, don't be disappointed, but you got to be present here. It's like, it'll be great to go back and revisit, and it's going to be different. Don't set up for something that it's like so much is over. And that's something that I think also has been coming up for me these last couple of weeks. It's like, listen, you can hash out as many stories as you want. You can retell things as much as you want, or reframe, or look at it, or someone suggests something or offers you information you didn't have before. But it's like, facts are facts. And then that's when it also gets loosey-goosey, because we get so existential and we get so like multiple timelining. We get so like, well, in another reality, this thing could be happening. In another reality, this thing is happening, and we're all fractals and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, it gets to be a lot of accumulation, and then you cry.
Yeah. The Matrix is heavy. It is. It is.
I mean, I sometimes think back to that period and how chaotic it was. And I really do feel like it was a moment of a wormhole presented itself. And when I think back to it, and this is, look, the story I tell myself, I don't know if it's real or not, but it's like, if I were to make a movie of it or to make it cinematic, it would be me literally walking into a room I wasn't supposed to walk into and everyone looking up and being like, what's she doing in here? She can't be in here. Like, you get a glimpse of the Matrix. You get a glimpse of the quantum and all of it. Just all of it, the mundane and the existential, the quantum and the 3D, like you kind of see it all at once. And are you supposed to see it or not? I don't know, but here you are. It's like, uh-oh, she saw backstage. Like, you know, oh my God, I just saw the stage manager and some lights and some 2x4s and holy shit, there's a man behind a curtain. Like, And then I think I come to an eclipse, which is a scheduled wormhole. It's like, no, no, no. This is the wormhole you're supposed to see. This is the wormhole you're supposed to be working with. And it's like, really? Because I just saw a wormhole back there and it was pretty crazy. And it's like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, anyways.
I also wanted to say, too, this is along those lines. Well, number one, we've established that they come up frequently and they are scheduled, right? So we're along for the ride and we can peek behind the curtain if we so choose. But the other piece here is that they come with the new moon and they come with the full moon. And the new moon is the one that's coming up on Monday, April 8th. And we just had the first one in the cycle actually was the full moon back in March, but a new moon is the beginning of something. It's the start of something. And we don't know where it's going to go. And that's why it's also interesting to really pay attention if you are floating through this, you know, experience in these 3D bodies, in the carbon experience of Earth, and to really watch and pay attention. Again, I've been talking a lot about this. Write it down. Don't forget who's showing up. What kinds of conversations are you having? You know, are you going to the same places over and over again for some reason? Are you going to new places that you've never been before? Are you exploring in a particular way? Are things shifting at work? Again, you can go through all of the parts of your life if you, from an astrological perspective, if you know your chart, look at the house where this is happening, and in whatever house system or multiple house systems that you're using to make it more, a little bit more fun, and go deeper into that theme, because that's the, like, the beginning of the story. It's the start of the adventure, but it's literally write itself out over the period until the Saros cycle comes back 18 years from now.
So quick question. Was the last eclipse in October, does it always go full moon, new moon?
Sometimes it goes new moon, full moon.
Okay.
And sometimes again, there's three in a cycle. So it'll go full, new, actually, there's rules around this that I need to look up, because sometimes when there's three, sometimes it's like you can have two new moons and one full moon, but you can't have two full moons and one new moon. Anyway, yeah, there's scientific rules here.
I picture you going up to the room that we're not supposed to go into and like knock, knock, knock and be like, excuse me, is it three? Like, what are the rules again? And they put a little slip of paper under the door with the answer.
Going behind the curtain for to find Oz, basically. Sidebar, another movie. Can't watch. Cry every time. The Wizard of Oz.
What?
Don't cry in The Wizard of Oz? It's so sad.
Cry? No, I don't cry at The Wizard of Oz.
I'm a basket case. I can't watch it.
Oh man, we'd dress up when we were little. I would dress up as Dorothy and my sister would like dress up as a scarecrow or something. And I mean, look, I really empathize for kids that didn't grow up in the 70s and 80s where you had like one box television and like three channels and antenna and like the Wizard of Oz on at 8 o'clock on a Friday night, like when the TV guide came out and announced that. I mean, stop the train, everybody. We have to get ready for this. I mean, but you know, I have been like, so this Mercury retrograde is like right up against my Chiron. So I've been aware of like, what are some healing, what has been healing too in all of this? I mean, there has been healing for sure.
Well, Chiron is exact conjunct this eclipse at 19 degrees right. Aries. So for all of us, the collective, this is happening as well. But for you specifically and as well.
Well, and you know, the whole wounded healer, it's like we've talked about this before. It's like, look, if you're going to heal anyone, there has to be the experience. We're in the age of experience now. We can't just sit across from someone and tell them how something is. It's nonverbal practically. Careful about trauma bonding. That's not what I am talking about at all. But like, you know, we had this thing this week where we were doing this installation at our friend's house. I was like a stress case going into this because it was complicated. It's like an 80-pound crystal and then it just in the most impossible location. Like there's a stairwell, there's a glass. It's just like, it's like in the, you know, in, I think it's in Wayne's World. I love that we're just talking, like we're balancing between existentialism and like easy movies. I think it's Wayne's World, or maybe it's like Pee-wee's Big Adventure. There's a chase scene. And of course, like they have all of the, the functions of a proper chase scene. Like the car goes through crates of chickens and then people are walking by with this big glass. I mean, that's how the setup feels. It's like I said to Ian, I'm like, the only thing missing is like a perfectly set dining room table with like 17 pieces of Wedgwood and like pure crystal glassware that we have to somehow go over with this crystal. Like that's the only thing missing from the intricacy of this. But as we were driving over, I was just noticing my body and how I felt the exact same sensations as when I was going to an audition. And the many details in my head as I would be going to the audition, like, remember your lines. What room are you going to? Put your coat in. Do you have your ID? Where's your lipstick? Is there going to be a bathroom nearby? How's your hair going to look? Are you sweating through your armpits right now? I mean, a million fucking things, right? So we get to the house and like, there was some drama, but it wasn't bad drama, but it was like, we have the neighbor coming over, like asking what we're doing and like telling us that and I'm like, really? Like what the, and then our friends arrive that whose house it was. And they were like, hey, they happened to arrive. And I'm like, oh, the deus ex machina. Wonderful. And so everything's like, once they get there, everything's cool. We get the crystal, we get it done. Ian's fucking brilliant with the engineering of it. And once it's in place and they're happy, and I just collapse a little bit. I'm just like, and it's the feeling of like, I just poured my tears out into the Leverage audition. And now I'm sitting in the car waiting for my cortisol levels to reach some level of normalcy. And like emotionally and stress wise, it's the exact same experience of like something very stressful and unknown. And I'm going into it and I'm keeping my shit together and I'm, you know, it's fine. But my body is just like, it's just ravaged at the end of it. And you know, we're driving back and Ian feels good and I feel good and the dog, everyone feels good. Right. And yet I'm aware that it took me all night to kind of come down from it. And I was like, holy shit. I put myself through that daily, weekly, for years in LA. You know, mm-hmm. I was talking to an actor friend and I was like, do you remember when we did that? Like parking at Forest Lawn to get onto the WB lot. And I think it was WB. But like, oh my God. And like shaking sometimes, just walking up to the door because, you know, this is a contract role in General Hospital. This could change everything. Blah. And I don't know. It was really something to have that moment here now, who I am now, today years old. But just think back to so much of that. And I don't feel traumatized by it or anything, but I mean, that was normal to me. Like that was
basically to be in fight or flight all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I guess you could also say 18 years ago, that was just a very normal routine for me. And, and let's not even like, forget about just the audition, getting in your car and then having to get to work on time and hoping that the person that covered your shift, you know what I mean? Hoping you're not going to get fired from your job because you're 10 minutes late or whatever. I mean, God damn, that was like 20 years of Olympics and now I'm healed.
And now everything is resolved. But it's interesting that, you know, you saw it right away and you experienced and you were like, okay, this is familiar. I know what this is like. I know how this goes. I don't have to do this. It's okay that it's happening. I mean, look, again, we live in this world. Things happen. Things are stressful. It's a different, but to be able to have the awareness and to step back from it and to watch it flow through and then ultimately resolve itself is really beautiful. And that's such a gift because that's also where you get to that point of self-understanding and to really have compassion for yourself and be like, it's okay, I went through this. And chances are very, very high that it will not happen again. It won't happen in this way, certainly.
No, it won't. It's like you said, the compassion part. And that, I just encourage that for everybody. I mean, we're in a review, we're in eclipse season, we're feeling feels. And it's like, go back to when you felt this, you know, not even necessarily like us mentally thinking to ourselves, well, what was I doing in 2005? But if something's coming up, like in the body and the emotions, like ask yourself, when have I felt this way before? When did I last feel this? Like, can we heal this moment now? Can we really send a lot of prayers and compassion back to that, you know, scared 30-year-old or scared 10-year-old or whatever, and just be like, yeah, man, you know what? Actually, I'm on the other side of that right now, and I'm watching you, and I'm watching this, and you are a fucking champion. Look at that. Like, you just kept going, didn't you? Like, you didn't stop to question it, and you got down sometimes, but it didn't defeat you. Mm-hmm. And the same thing now. I mean, I could say last night, this is a mood. And trust me, when I'm feeling a certain way, it's like I could be 5 years old, I could be 10 years old, and I'm aware. And that's the nice thing, I think, of just being of a certain age. You're just like, we've been here before. It's going, no, really, like it's going to be okay. It doesn't mean I'm wrong for feeling it or like succumbing to, you know, blanket over the head kind of thing. It's like, the nice thing is you can be your own healer and your own sort of night nurse taking care of yourself in these moments, I think.
We are the healers of ourselves, and the medicine and is all in our power, really, as you say. And that is, I think, very much one of the hallmarks of this eclipse cycle, because of that Chiron with the moon and the sun in Aries. And it's asking us to heal ourselves, like our fundamental beingness. So allow all of it, allow the crying, allow the laughter, allow the sleep, the moments of sadness and grief. All of it is part of the human experience. And also, I think the best thing too also is just to share and be honest with others. That really, again, it's like we're all, so many people are going through it. So to share it more is very, very helpful. You might think like, oh, you know, maybe there's some shame attached to it or something like that. And it's like, it's not your vulnerability. I mean, this is like the Brené Brown school of it all. It's like sharing your vulnerabilities is truly the key to everything. It's just, it gives people permission to be themselves. And the more we do it, the better off we are as individuals and as a community, collective, and humanity in general.
And I think, too, this is an adjustment for a lot of us in terms of what is leadership in the Aquarian age, because I think a lot of people feel like they're the sort of captain of the ship, whatever that is, the family, the business, and they have to keep their shit together because they're the captain of the ship. They can't let people down. Oh, they can't see me being weak or whatever. And I actually really think that, I mean, I don't know, but I know a lot of us are all looking for, we're still looking for the leadership. We're still looking for the teacher, I'll speak for myself. I mean, I catch myself. I'm looking for, okay, the person that was a very important teacher mentor to me is dead. And she's not the only teacher. I mean, another teacher of mine died in 2019. And there is a feeling of, okay, well, are you my new mom? Are you my, not mom, but you know what I mean? Like, are you my new teacher? Are you my new leader? Are you the new person that's going to tell me what to do? And I don't think that is where I'm supposed to be looking right now for myself. I think this is about many of us stepping up as collective, and there isn't just the one person that everything rotates around. And I think it's a real confrontation, because even when we have teachers that we look to, there's a lot of expectation and pedestalizing, and it's a slippery slope, right? And we've seen that happen. So in this case, in terms of like sharing with each other, being vulnerable with each other, it's like everyone can take a turn here. Like, it's okay if I'm relying on one person to keep their shit together at all times so that I can keep my shit together, that is an unreasonable and unfair assignment of responsibility and relationship. It's just not fair. And I find this where, like, I'll be watching a new teacher or a new sort of seminar leader, and I'll start to like find myself projecting onto them and projecting weakness and being like, that's bullshit, whatever. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, you're making this person way more of a character than they actually, it's like, you're making a problem out of this is what you're doing, you know? So anyways, I guess all I'm saying is there's an invitation here, I think, for us to really feel safe with each other and like feel safe to be who you are and be going through what you're going through and not worry about letting people down about it. I think like making, cause that just makes it worse. It's like, oh God, I just can't let them see me like this. And it's like, okay. I mean, and what if we can all kind of reach an agreement that sometimes someone else has to take the wheel, the captain can go have a good cry and maybe a good scotch. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. We will model for each other and people step up while others step down. I mean, that's again, part of these cycles is that to allow the space for that to happen and to allow for relationships dynamics to change and to evolve and to not get stuck in the old way. And the fact that you I think have expressed this very eloquently and like easy to understand of what that feels like to want somebody to sort of take charge and like let you just step back for a little bit and all of that. And again, that's a projection too, in a particular way of like, oh, I'm going to just like let go, you know, default or, you know, let go of my own personal responsibility and let them take the mantle. And that's fine if you're aware of what's happening and then ready, you know, you're engage again and come back. But then, so there's a dynamic that's moving forward that we have to pay attention to and allow and move through with ease, I think is the hardest part, to do it with ease and with understanding. And again, back to that compassion piece, that it will constantly evolve. It will change. And rather than be one fixed dynamic, because then what happens? Somebody dies and the whole thing goes to shit. And then you got a lot of lost people looking around, trying to like have, you know, find somebody else to fix them, when it's like, that wasn't the thing that was, that wasn't the way that it was going. But it's sort of, you know, it's like we're blind in many ways because we're stuck in these relationship dynamics.
Well, and, you know, I definitely want to, whenever like something drastic happens, like you want there to be that happy ending and button on it. And, you know, I'm watching a lot of people moving through it. Right. And one story I'm catching myself is like, I'm looking around, I'm like, oh wow, that person's really flailing. And it's like, well, are they though? Like, what are they supposed to do? Like, what's your expectation? Like, oh, suddenly they're supposed to be this like fucking like champion of things. Maybe they're having, you know, we're all working through something, and there's no like, you know, there's no prize. There's no prize at the end of this. There's hopefully a collective coming together. But one of the hardest,
I just wanted to say too, along these lines, is like, you know, and we hear this and it's true. We have to remember, we don't know what the other person really is going through. Or, as you said, like, people are going through the thing, but often we know the people that are close to us, we know what they're going through because we have a relationship with them and it's complete and conversational and we get it. We know their history. We know where they're at. But most people that we're acquainted with, and then goes from like mid-level acquaintance to very minimal acquaintance, we really don't know. And so this is too part of our challenge, is to go around in our day and to be kind and compassionate. Number one, to ourselves first and foremost, no matter what, but hopefully to those others. And this is something I want to just say too, not easy for me at all. I definitely bring my bad moods to the world, but you know, it's the lady at the Whole Foods. It's the guy at the coffee shop. It's the, you know, gas station attendant. It's the, you know, security guard at whatever, your kid's school. Like, it's everywhere. We just simply don't know. And one of the beautiful things I think about our practice and our intentional living, hopefully, and desire to, you know, be better and to grow, is that we're bringing our higher frequency, our higher vibration to others. And if we can hold on to that, that just elevates everybody one little bit at a time, whether it's eclipse season or retrograde season, or, you know, the dog's got a thing on his paw, or, you know, you had an argument, you know, with your best friend, or, you know, your mentor passed away, or, you know, your cousin's got cancer or something like this. I mean, we have a responsibility, I think, to really just tune in and be our best self, whatever that is at this moment. Because it literally might be going to the coffee shop and saying, you know, I'd like a cappuccino, please. And how are you doing today? I'm going through a really hard time, but it's nice to see you here again. Okay. That's sharing. Yeah. That's something that helps.
I mean, you have to, it's like, sometimes we really do have to go into like just a Trader Joe's or something and just normalize the day, normalize the mood, and be like, okay, these are people just going about their day. I too can go about my day and just, you know, just be cool, man. Just be cool. But I mean, I suppose that's one of the things I've been reviewing over the last few days is, you know, I think back to when I needed the person to be the leader and to hold the shit together. I needed that from them. And I was talking with someone, and, you know, they were sharing with me about a reaction that Guru Jagat had to some stuff that was really upsetting to her, and how she really let herself be upset to this person, like, you know, in private. And, you know, I think back to that, and I remember I was there. We were on a yatra of sorts, and I remember I'd asked her something, and she just kind of gave me this like tight-lipped, like, it's fine, everything's fine. And I'm I'm just like, oh, good. Okay, cool. Everything's fine. Yay. Okay, go. And it's like, this woman is suffering.
Yeah.
She was suffering. Yeah. And I didn't want, I wanted it to not be that way. I mean, look, I don't want anyone to suffer. I want to tra-la-la and love and light and be like, okay, everything's fine. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's like, the more you humanize all of these things, they come alive in much different ways. And it's all very informative for how to move forward. You know, I thought my life was going to be a certain way when I moved here to Sedona, and it hasn't really done that. And I found myself reviewing, and I found myself wanting to blame circumstances and people for that, for the thing not going the way I thought it would. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, but that dynamic didn't want to happen. So, okay, it didn't go the way you thought it would. All right. Are you blaming? Are you projecting? Like, clearly something else is supposed to happen. Clearly there's another path here. And so my job right now is to not get distracted by circumstances and environments and personalities that I would typically want to blame it on and not deal with it, you know?
Words for the wise, for all of us. So thank you for this. This is really illuminating. To stay in your humanity, stay kind, stay focused, stay inside. Eclipse season's here. Enjoy it. Move on to your best destination, your destiny timeline. And we'll be here for more of this. I think this is really helpful. So thank you so much.
No, thank you.